I'm Steve Potter, and this is Cityscape, and here are some stories our newsroom is following today. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen meet today after a rather tumultuous week of committee meetings. We'll hear about the fallout from Wednesday night's hearing on the police civilian oversight bill when a scuffle broke out between supporters of the bill and its police opponents. Also, the Committee on Housing and Urban Development and Zoning is holding another hearing about a proposal to relocate the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency to the north side of St. Louis. A hearing on the subject earlier this week drew the ire of several people because the agency's plan involves moving to a location that is already occupied by more than 40 homes. And tomorrow is the last day for the public to weigh in on the state's energy plan. So far, comments have indicated that people are consistently in support of increasing the use of renewable energy, such as solar or wind. This poses a challenge for Missouri, where at least 80% of our electricity comes from coal. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on St. Louis Public Radio and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Coming up a little later, Willis Ryder Arnold has a feature about music artist Tech Supreme, and he's working to produce music in St. Louis with Delmar Records. That's a new label. Also, Nancy Fowler will preview some events that are scheduled for Black History Month. That's ahead. Right now, the August 9th shooting death of Michael Brown by a police officer and all the unrest that followed in Ferguson are etched into our consciousness. And there are efforts underway now to preserve the memories of these events for future generations. And today we're going to examine the work of two local institutions that are working to make that happen. Shannon Davis is the Digital Projects Librarian at Washington University. Christopher Gordon is the Director of Library and Collections at the Missouri History Museum, and we welcome them now.
Thank you
for being here. Christopher Jordan, wasn't it just yesterday the museum issued a public plea?
Yes, we have a collecting initiative that is tied into Ferguson, of course, and we actually went out as part of this initiative, went out into the field and visited a business that had been affected by the rioting, that had been burned, went through the rubble and selected some artifacts that we hope will represent, you know, that business and certainly how it was affected by the rioting. So it was a unique opportunity to collect artifacts from the present, really, that will represent, we hope will represent history in the future.
And you'd like people to think about what they may have in their possession right now, be it something on their phone or something they picked up or whatever it might be?
Exactly. This is, again, it's a very unique opportunity. We have history that's happening around us, and people have reacted in many different ways to this event, whether it's protests, whether it's what they've created through art. And we are interested in talking with those individuals, collecting artifacts, collecting items, to build a research collection around this event.
So when you say talking, are you interested in sort of compiling an oral history as well? Is that part of it?
Exactly. Oral histories are a big component to this project.
Shannon Davis, WashU's library, actually began collecting, I think it was really just weeks after the Brown shooting, wasn't it?
That's right. Yeah, we had something, a website up where people could contribute items. I think it was late August. So, yeah, a few weeks after the shooting actually happened. And we've been collecting community-contributed materials ever since.
How did you react so quickly? I mean, good for you, but, you know, that was fast.
That's the great thing about collecting digital materials is people already had them, and we already had systems in place that we could use to collect the material. So using the technology we already had, and people, you know, they didn't have to look around and find things. It was all on their phone or on their Twitter accounts or blogs. So it was really easy for them to submit things to us.
You know, I was thinking earlier back to like the civil unrest in the 60s. You know, there was a lot of protests and things that happened. People didn't have cameras in their pockets. And I can only imagine the kind of archive we would have now if we had our technology then.
And I think that was one of the things that we really wanted to capture with this project, is because there's now that people have cameras in their hands, the amount of photographs that are being taken is, you know, they probably took thousands of photos in one evening instead of maybe 20 on a regular camera. So that's another reason why we wanted to get this initiative started, was to make sure that we archive all of those.
Okay. Well, photographs aside then, what are some of the other things you might be interested in? Would it be a piece of a business sign? I mean, what comes to mind?
Yeah, flyers, certainly protest signs that have been created. And, you know, we certainly want people to understand that this is we want to collect from all perspectives, you know. You know, material from both sides. And, you know, T-shirts have been produced, armbands, things like this. All this is a part of the story and will tell the story in the future.
Uh-huh. So am I right to think that the Missouri History Museum doesn't have any artifacts yet since you just started this?
It is starting to come in. We do have material that we have collected as early as late November, early December.
Right. Let's talk a little bit. Can you be specific maybe on some of the things that you do have?
Well, we have a program, for instance, from the Michael Brown funeral. We worked with the South Grand Improvement District. After the indictment was announced, there was some unrest in that neighborhood. Windows were smashed, and the businesses reacted by putting up murals. Mm-hmm. And their storefronts, we did work with them to collect some of that art that was created as part of that effort. So we have those examples, but again, we have some more ephemeral things, T-shirts and community flyers that were produced as well.
Shannon, what about the WashU Library? You've been doing this for a while, so give me an idea what you have.
Yeah, so I'd say it's about half images and video at the moment. So a lot of images that people took on their cell phones of protests or events around the city. We also have images from the Shaw protests, from the police shooting there. So it kind of ballooned out from just focusing on Ferguson to the subsequent shooting in Shaw as well. We also have some minutes from some neighborhood meetings that took place. So kind of a mix of things that we have now.
And I guess sort of time is of the essence, would it be? Because as time goes on, you misplace things, you lose things, your memories fade.
Exactly. You know, you had mentioned the civil rights movement in the 60s and how much, you know, we would know if we had more material. I hope people keep that in mind. You know, if I know this is an emotional issue and that some people may not want to part with what they have now, I hope that they will consider us in the future, certainly, to donate things. But, you know, as much as we can collect now, the better the story will be told.
So maybe if someone has something they're not ready to turn loose of, would you like to know about it? And they might say, well, I'm going to give this to you in 5 years or something.
That's
You'd like
right.
to know about it now, though, would
That's
you?
That's right. Yeah. We're willing to speak with anyone that might want to donate material. And, you know, they don't have to give it today. But if they give us the heads up, we can certainly keep it in mind for the future.
I don't know if each of you personally deal with the people that are giving the items. Are you? Well, then you must have some interesting stories, too many to share now. But I just mean the conversations you must have must be fascinating.
We had really a variety of people contributing items. And I try to, when people contribute, get in touch with them, see what other things they might have that they could contribute. And it's really been a wide variety of people, and not just in the St. Louis area, from really all over the country. So it's been really great to see. It's kind of a national effort, not just a local effort.
Well, I'll start with you, Christopher. Do you have any idea, since you guys are just sort of starting, how you're going to use these materials? Do you have a firm idea yet?
Well, the goal right now is to build a research collection. And, you know, when people think of research, they tend to think of documents. But everything that we collect really becomes part of the research collection, whether it's a document or an artifact. So it's building that story through documents and artifacts. And all our collections are open to the public, so anyone can come and request to look at the items and study them. But they will also be used in exhibits in the future. There's not a specific Ferguson exhibit that's planned right now. We may display some of the items.
But who knows, on the first anniversary or whatever.
Exactly. But there is a civil rights exhibit that's coming up in a couple of years, so I'm sure that will be incorporated in that.
What about the library, Shannon?
Yeah, we don't have any specific plans for what we're going to do with it now other than we want it to be a research and teaching collection. But we were kind of focused on collecting things for the first part of it, and now that it's been 4 or 5 months, we're really trying to focus our efforts and figure out what kinds of things, focus on which kinds of things we want to collect and where we're going to go from
Since you've been doing it for a while, has anything come across your desk that sort of surprised you? I mean, there are probably a lot of things you'd expect to see. Mm-hmm. Anything you went, oh, didn't think of that?
I guess I didn't expect people to submit creative works based on their experiences in Ferguson. So we have a few poems and stories that people have submitted and original artwork that it's been nice to see people are reacting to it with a kind of a creative outlet.
I guess what should people do then? What do they need to do if they have something they think might be of interest? How do they go about contacting you and, you know, what hoops did they jump through?
Well, they can call the History Museum. They can call me specifically. If you just call the museum main number, that information is going to get to me.
Shannon?
We have a website. It's at digital.wustl.edu/Ferguson, and all the information is there for people to submit or get in touch with us.
Right, and you can always go to stlpublicradio.org, the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to both of your websites, and people can do it that way. Well, it's a really great opportunity for someone to contribute to an important part of history and sort of have their own little fingerprint on it, right?
Exactly.
Yes. I think it's great work. We'll look forward to seeing what you end up with down the road. We've been talking with Shannon Davis, the Digital Projects Librarian at WashU, and with Christopher Gordon, Director of Library and Collections at the Missouri History Museum. Best of luck with the project.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, a preview of Black History Month and a St. Louis music artist and a new record label. This is St. Louis Public Radio.